And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We cover down on some ground, man, and solid conservative and just plain right everywhere we go. So, listen, I'm gonna jump over to the first part of today's Triple Dipper, taxation fixation. So, man, I tell you what, when I got elected in 2010, it was some lean years, dude. I mean, we came out of the 2008 recession, and we were looking at Democrats having been in control of state budgeting for, 136 straight years, actually. But in the 6 or 7 years prior, now let me think this through. I think in the 10 years prior, 6 of those years, they had put the budgets into proration. And what proration means, if you're not familiar, because I wasn't until I got there, what budget proration means is you budgeted, but somewhere like halfway through the year, it was apparent that revenues were not going to be coming in the form sufficient to meet all of the obligations. And so you have to cut the budget in the middle of the year. It wreaks havoc. I mean, you can imagine. Government programs that were suddenly thinking they were fully funded for the year don't have their money. I think in the last year prior to my election, along with a bunch of others in the Republican wave of 2010, I think Governor Riley had to cut it like to 40% proration in the general fund budget. Because Alabama, by the way, Alabama has the most jacked up system of budgeting. It's one of the things that really needs to get fixed one day, and it's not an easy fix. But we're one of the only states in the nation that has what we refer to as split budgeting. Everything in the world is in what they call the general fund to run the state, except for education, which is in a separate budget. So all your mental health, roads and bridges, state troopers, different departments, you know, all the things it takes to keep the lights turned on in all the buildings, everything in the general fund is on one side. And then there's this behemoth budget that's everything education, called the ETF, or the Education Trust Fund. Guess which one gets most of what we call the growth revenues? Basically, if you got a source of revenue like a sales tax or an income tax, the kind that goes up in a good economy, those only feed the education trust fund. The general fund is woefully underfunded on a regular basis because it has all of what we call the flat taxes, the things like property taxes that never change for the most part, and a few other paltries. We did do some amending, but for the most part, split budgeting remains. And when we got there in 2010, my recollection was we had, and I'm going from memory because I've slept since then, but that's been also 12 years ago. I want to say like a $432 million hole in the budget that we had to find a way to patch. And so we did. We patched it. We downsized government. We even cut our own legislative pay, which had never been done before. And then we filled that hole. And we had to borrow from the state trust fund to do it, and then to make sure there were payments made over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, I believe, to get it paid back. So all that was the way it used to be. No excess, no nothing. One of the things we also did, though, was even though we were lean, and I mean like lean like ain't nothing, ain't the cupboard was bare. Even though we were lean, we also set up a reserve account for education. And they have since then also set up a reserve account for the other budget, the general fund, meaning there's a bit of a savings account. It's like a percentage of revenues. It's capped at a certain level, but it puts money in so you've got the ability to have what they call a rolling reserve, the ability to pay things off and then refill it and pay things off if you have to and refill it. And that's been a godsend. But at the same time, you haven't seen the word proration in 12 years. 8 of the time I was down there, we set these new policies in place, and since then they've been able to budget because we've hit surpluses. Lord, the surpluses they've got now. Surpluses we sure didn't have back then, I can just tell you. Ain't no proration. At the same time, they are growing government in Montgomery at rates unheard of. The state of Alabama grew the size and scope of government more in the last 4 years than states like California and New York did. And that's crazy to me. I mean, the very idea. At the same time, you've got other states that are cutting their taxes, and yet Alabama is one of the few with a major budget surplus to have not provided any tax relief. I don't know how to explain that, but there it is. You would think when we have a Republican supermajority and a budget surplus and basically kind of a Republican tradition of being willing to give tax breaks and tax cuts and tax incentives, you would think that they would find a way to go, you know what, time to give something back. Well, a few of them are talking about it. But 1819 News has a piece yesterday when we were on the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We bantered about this a little bit. 1819 News, dated yesterday. Alabama ranked worst in the Southeast U.S. for business tax climate, last in the nation for its sales tax burden. Now, the question we posed during the Grand Council yesterday was, are we a low-tax or a high-tax state? I mean, we're red through and through, right? I mean, you're not paying the property taxes here that you might have to pay in, I don't know, say Florida or California. It's true. But nonetheless, the Tax Foundation says that Alabama has the worst tax climate for businesses in the southeastern United States, according to their 2023 State Business Tax Climate Index. The index, it says Alabama ranks 41st overall nationwide for its business tax climate, dropping two spots since last year, which means other states have streamlined their tax burdens, and finishing with the lowest score in the Southeast. Alabama is in the top 20 in the nation when it comes to corporate property and unemployment insurance taxes. However, its ranking of 30th overall in individual income taxes and last in the nation for sales taxes weighs down the other areas of the tax code. Now, let me make sure you understand. I am not about to advocate. I hear people all the time, liberals going, we need to raise the property tax rate. Then we could do more for mental health. We need to raise the property tax. Their solution is always raising taxes. That is not a reasonable solution. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean the taxpayers of the state should have to pay more. How about this? Reforms are definitely potential. And streamlining current operations, definitely potential. Stop giving massive raises constantly to public employees at a time when we're not doing anything for the private sector and we're not downsizing government. Got to start thinking about how to, and I've got an article here that I get to in a minute, Senator Garland Gudger. I like Senator Gudger, but he talks about running it like our household. Well, I agree, but your household, if you don't have any money, you're not going to go out to eat on Friday night. You're going to eat ramen at home. Well, maybe it's time for government to eat a little ramen. But when I look at this overall, the Tax Foundation states that with the best business tax climates, even those states that have the best business tax climates, don't levy one of the major taxes that are listed in the index. In other words, not every good state does all the taxes that are available. Alabama, though, does all the taxes that are available. They do a couple of them low, the rest of them are high. It goes on to say, property taxes and unemployment insurance taxes are levied in every state, but there are several states that do without one or more of the major taxes, like they do without a corporate income tax, or they do without an individual, or without a sales tax. It does not mean that a state cannot rank in the top 10 while still levying them, because, example, apparently Indiana and Utah, they levy all the major taxes, but they do so with low rates across the board. So here's the thing. 1819 points out, many state legislators and statewide elected officials have either been silent this year about plans for permanent tax cuts, or they want to use the record state surpluses for government savings accounts or one-time tax rebates. Let me tell you something. If you want to do a one-time tax rebate but couple it with a modification to the tax law that gives a permanent cut, I think we can talk about that. If the goal is just to do, oh, you know, we're going to send you a one-time payment. Here's $500. Good luck to you. All you've done is taken the Biden-Gavin Newsom route. And I don't agree with that being the solution. If you are literally saying, well, we've got so much money, we just need to sock some away. People don't realize we already have a rainy day trust fund in Alabama. It's fueled by oil and gas revenues in the Gulf Coast. It has billions of dollars in it. And if we continue just to sock money away, then all we're doing there is just pouring money into government and not pouring money into our citizens. So, yeah, here's the bottom line. There's got to be some measure of tax relief, and it galls me to think that here we have a Republican supermajority And I love you guys, by the way. I served down there with some of them for 8 years. I get it. I've been in those caucus meetings. I know how hard it is to get some big stuff done. But the problem you've got right now is that some of the heavy influencers, like the teachers union, are weighing in hard and saying, don't you touch that sales tax because that might affect education income. Meanwhile, they got the largest budget in the history of the state of Alabama, the history of the entire state, since the year 1819 when we became a state. The largest education budget ever. And they can't, at this point, see why they should give some of that back. Well, listen, we're going to talk more about it when we get back from the break. Boomer, go ahead and move us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now, about 45 seconds ahead of the usual schedule. We come right back. We'll wrap this up. Taxation, fixation. And then coming up top of the hour, I'm excited to have some folks coming in the studio with us. We're going to have Tommy and Valerie Goodman coming in with us to talk about an incredible organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace that does some pretty cool stuff. You'll want to hear this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Hey, let me tell you, by the way, before I go too much further, you hear me talking all the time about the fact that this show is very military-centric, that I'm keen on veterans' issues, being a veteran myself. I don't mind talking in military parlance sometimes. Well, sometimes things catch my attention like I'm sure they do yours, but more so maybe because of the view I have towards those things. Well, all this stuff about water contamination at Camp Lejeune piqued my interest because I've got friends who are Marines, and I'm looking at this thinking, what in the world? I mean, it's like everywhere right now. Ads on TV, ads on the internet, ads on, you know, popping in my emails. Here's the bottom line. I called some friends of mine at a law firm called Riley and Jackson down in Birmingham. These are friends of mine, truly, that I have worked with on issues and cases before. And they've got like five lawyers working this. And I said, fellas, what's the deal? They said, listen, man, there's like 19 different illnesses attributed to a confirmed water contamination that the government knew about and didn't fix at Camp Lejeune. So the deal is, if you were there, or if you were a dependent, or if you were a trainee, or if you were on TDY or a permanent duty station, doesn't matter, if between 1953 and 1987, it's a big spread, 1953 to 1987, you ought to call Riley and Jackson and find out whether you qualify for a claim. Here's their number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000, friends of mine. And by the way, these folks have been making it a thing for decades now to do good quality work to make people whole who have been harmed by the negligence of others. And I know these folks personally. They're not just right on the law. They're right on politics, too, if you know what I'm saying. 1953 to 1987, Riley and Jackson. Here's the phone number, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. No charge for the call. They only get paid if they find a claim all the way to fruition for you. All right. I got to do that thing now. You ready? You time me, Boomer? One, two, three. No representation made the quality of legal service before was greater than the quality of legal service before other lawyers. How was that? What'd I do?
2.85.
I stick with 2.8, don't I?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's like your solidness.
that's my solidness. All right.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good word. Solidness.
I'll take it. Solidness.
Solidness.
All right. Hey, listen, jumping back into the triple dipper here. So, taxation fixation. Let me make sure you understand that when I say that, you know, the Tax Foundation has determined that Alabama ranks the worst in the Southeast United States for business tax climates. We do have some good, we have low property taxes, got to love that. But there are other states that are taking major steps right now because, see, it's not just Alabama that's in a budget surplus. Other states are too, and they're looking at it going, you know what, time to give something back. I mean, for crying out loud, Democrat Illinois is cutting taxes. What the heck? all the states in the Southeast have cut taxes, some partially, some permanently. In the last 2 years, Alabama, nada. Nada. What have we done? We've seen an increase in our gas tax. Here's an example. Press release I'm looking at right now came from Governor Parsons, the governor of Missouri. Did I say Missouri? Hang on a second. I'm maybe looking at the wrong state now. Maybe, yeah, it's Missouri. Governor Parsons of Missouri, they cut taxes. It's the largest income tax in state cut in tax. Say it again. It's the largest income tax cut in state history. It reduces their top individual income tax from 5.2 to 4.9. It eliminates the bottom income tax bracket altogether. It allows an additional 0.15% top income tax rate reduction to 4.8 if revenues exceed a certain level. It eliminates income taxes for individuals making less than $13,000 a year and for couples making less than $26,000. It allows for three additional 0.1% top income tax rate reductions in future years. Okay, what that basically means is they also set in place some changes that can be put in just at executive order. Like if I want to lower taxes again, I can because they've already given me the authority to do it. That happened in Missouri. That press release came out 3 weeks ago. Earlier this year, Mississippi did the same. So it's not just that faraway place not in the South called Missouri. It's also right here next door to us. Mississippi just went through the largest tax cut in state history. They are eliminating whole sections of their income tax code. At epic levels, we are seeing tax relief. Meanwhile, 1819 News reports again that State Senator Garland Gudger from over in Coleman, he reported on October 22nd, he did an interview with Capital Journal, I believe. And no, I take it back. He was on Jeff Poor's show, FM Talk 106.5, down on the coast. He said he would support first paying down state debt. I get that, paying down debt. But then putting anything left over aside from savings. We already have a savings account. We have the Rainy Day Trust Fund. That's real. It has billions in it. I like Garland Gudger personally. I know him, but I disagree with that perspective. If I were in caucus right now, I'd say, no, let's give something back. But here's the other thing, too. Did you know, I've said it before on the show, but I'm going to reaffirm it right now. There are only 13 states in the entire nation that have sales taxes on groceries, Alabama being one. But did you know that of those 13 states that tax groceries at all, there's only three, Alabama, Mississippi, and South Dakota, that tax them at the fullest, highest rate allowed by state law. Alabama taxes groceries at the highest possible level that it can, and there's no other state around us that is like we are. Alabama, Mississippi, and South Dakota tax groceries at that rate. South Dakota just came out and said that they're trying to, Kristi Noem, the governor there, said she's trying to do away with the grocery tax altogether. I mean, this is where we are. I'm going to keep hammering this. It was worth bringing it up again because we had that brand new report that came out yesterday saying that the Tax Foundation found us to be the worst in the Southeast and one of the worst in the nation for sales taxes. But folks, there is no reason why we can't see something done. Now, I know that Senator Orr and several others are contemplating finding some relief. He said so. Senator Orr has contemplated the idea of modifying the tax code to reduce a burden permanently. I'm not sure where they would find it yet, but I think the grocery tax is where they should go first. But also doing a tax rebate because we have surpluses. I like that idea. Combine it. Send something now, combine it with permanent relief. There are others like Senator Gudger saying, no, let's just put it away for a rainy day. There's others that are like saying, no, don't do anything because we don't know. Hard times could come. Well, you can't keep hoarding money in government. It's not government's money. It's supposed to be ours. It's time to call your folks and tell them, look, you're getting reelected. Go down there and freaking do something. Cut our taxes, please. Last in the nation. All right, folks, we're moving on. I got a great interview. I'm looking forward to having some folks come in here. They're with an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace that makes a difference in kids' lives. You're going to want to hear this. Coming up next, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.